My name's Travis Sims, and I am the founder and CEO of AGC Accelerated Global Connections. And this is the AGC Experience.
Our lives are a series of choices. Each choice leads to a result. Would you like to easily know which choices are the right life choices for you? If you've never met Amy Tyson, owner of Infinity Life Design, make it a priority to connect with her. Amy is a master of feng shui and bazi, which she calls destiny analysis. She assists her clients in understanding the hidden forces that are influencing their lives. A destiny reading with Amy is like reading a book all about you. She highlights which decisions will bring you to your fullest potential and which choices will lead you down a path of obstacles. If you're struggling with a challenge or you want to lift your life even higher, get connected with Amy and Infinity Life Design on facebook.com/infinitylifedesign or subscribe to her online newsletter at infinitylifedesign.com and connect with your infinite life.
Give a big, big, warm AGC welcome to Fran Bigwanek. Give it to Fran.
I'm happy to be here with you tonight, and I promise you that because you were so, enthusiastic, I won't keep you long, okay? So I have a superpower. I'm committed. I'm a risk taker. I'm a fighter. I'm loyal, I'm intelligent, I'm passionate, I'm pretty put together. But none of those things are my superpower. My superpower is what I'm going to show you in the next 2 minutes of my talk. I lived a pretty wild life as a teenager. I partied a lot, drank a lot, I smoked a lot. I hung out with a really, really tough crowd. When I was 18, I got pregnant. By 19, I had my first child. By age 24, I had child number two. All of this delayed any education dreams I thought I had. I didn't actually start college until I was 28 years old, which felt like a real failure. I grew up as a female knowing that I had limits, had barriers without any resources. I grew up financially poor, and for about the first 25 years of my adult life, I was financially poor, which meant limits, barriers without any resources. I felt a lot of shame. So I was afraid. I was afraid of being exposed. I was afraid of not being considered legitimate. I was afraid of not being seen, and I was afraid of not being good enough. So my psyche, like any good psyche worth its salt, went into covert operations, taking my shame, burying it underground so that I could function. It did a really, really good job. But covert operations have a way of sneaking up on you, and so does shame. So these past 2 minutes that I've been up here talking with you, showing up and being seen, this is my superpower. This is vulnerability. And I just became vulnerable, and man, do I really feel strong. So the dictionary defines vulnerability as a state of being open to injury or being appearing to be open to injury. Ugh, yikes. When I think about that particular definition, I feel like I'd rather jump out of an airplane than be vulnerable. I like to think about vulnerability as showing up and being seen. So there are many ways that you can be vulnerable. But I like to talk about three types of vulnerability: emotional vulnerability, cognitive vulnerability and relational vulnerability. So I can be emotionally vulnerable simply by feeling into discomfort that I feel, facing fears that I have, and just sort of accepting who I am unconditionally and bringing that into interactions with other people. The result of this typically is that other people feel like they can relate to me like a human being. I can be cognitively vulnerable if I simply allow my thinking to be open and flexible, to be open to potential, to be open to possibility, to know and to tell myself that I do not need to be limited. The result of this typically is that it allows for a creativity that inspires how I approach problems and dilemmas. I can be relationally vulnerable simply by showing up and being seen, like saying to you, this is me, all my warts, I'm not perfect, I need help, or tell me about you, tell me about what you're thinking, I want to know more. The result of this typically is that it communicates a willingness on my part to move toward and to consider you as a human being. Inspiring. So I want to take a couple of minutes to tell you a story of my vulnerability moment. So about 10 years into my career as a psychologist, I joined the faculty at a local community college. This was the epitome for me, something I had worked very hard for and could never imagine I could do, right? I held these folks up on a real high pedestal. Later on, I would come to learn that they all put their pants on one leg at a time, just like me, so we had a lot in common. But it was an important place for me to be. And so I showed up to work eager with my professional persona on. I walked around, I looked confident on the outside. When you looked in a classroom, it looked as though I knew what I was doing with my teaching. And I appeared quite reserved. All of those things were true about me. I was pretty confident that I could do this job, and I did a really good job of teaching. I know that because the students let me know that, and fellow faculty who watched my teaching let me know that. And the truth is, I can be pretty reserved. But when I say I showed up that way to work, it's only partially true, because that was just a professional persona that I put on. All of what I shared with you about who I am, all of that stayed buried intentionally. And so I wasn't really showing up and being seen. I simply was bringing my persona to my interactions. All of that changed about 5 years into my teaching. We'd come back from a really nice winter break. I do miss those winter breaks. But we'd come back from our break between semesters, and we had to do some professional development. And so I went into a professional development setting, and the presenter asked all of us faculty in there to go one by one and share one bit of information about ourselves that we thought other people in the room would be surprised to learn. Oh my God, lump in my throat, my gut got tight, and I panicked. It was fortunate that I was sitting in the back row of the auditorium, so they were starting at the front and I had some time, but I got scared to death. Oh my God, she's asking me to show something other than my persona. She's asking me for what's underground. And I got scared, and the fear kicked in, and one by one, faculty members are saying their little anecdotes and idiosyncrasies, and it's getting closer and closer. And in my mind, I'm thinking, what in the hell am I gonna do? I don't know what to say. And then something popped into my head. Oh, maybe I could share this. Right away, mind started going, nope, you cannot do that, because if you say this, they will think you're not intelligent. They're going to think that you're not legitimate, and you will not be included. And so I panicked. I was sitting next to a friend of mine who was actually we were in graduate school together, and we ended up in the same community college teaching. And when the time came for me to share, all of a sudden, I had a moment of bravery. And I looked around and I just said, now keep in mind, these are faculty who I had put on a pedestal. I looked around and I said, well, my family tells me I have a fine sailor's mouth. Oh! My friend gasped and looked at me and she said, you do? I had known her for over 20 years by then, and she had no clue. And then suddenly, over here in the corner, somebody says, hey, let's hear some of that. And someone over here says, oh, I want to see what that looks like. And everybody started to chuckle. Relief for me initially, and then a moment of transformation that changed me forever. Because in that moment, what I did is engaged in emotional vulnerability by facing my fear, cognitive vulnerability by allowing myself to believe that maybe at least one person in that room wouldn't think as horribly about me as I was worried they would. And I engaged in relational vulnerability simply by saying to them, I'm pretty human and I'm trusting you with that. The result of that ended up being a change in the dynamic of the relationship with other faculty. Faculty were inspired to approach me in a way that they hadn't been before, because remember, I was reserved. And it allowed me to transform the way that I thought about myself so that I engaged with them very differently as well. So I want you to know that at this point in my life, I feel very successful. I've spent my life building a career that allows me to do all the things I'm really passionate about. I counsel, I teach, I present, I map brains. And my family life is equally as satisfying. I've built two successful businesses. I feel very successful. So you might be wondering, well then, Fran, maybe that vulnerability thing that you said is the thing that's so important for success. Maybe that isn't, because you've been building your career for a long time, right? And your vulnerable moment was long after you started your career. But that would be a false analysis on your part. Because what I have come to realize is that I have been accidentally activating my superpower throughout my entire career. I have done that in many, many occasions. This story is just one example of that. So what I've come to realize is that my superpower has actually always been with me. I've obviously always had the option to be vulnerable if I chose to do that. So as I reflect on it now, it's obviously that I have been doing that accidentally for a very long time. It's what's allowed me to strive to meet the goals that I've had in life. It's allowed me to dare to be who I wanted to be. Yet I wonder, what would it have been like for me if I had all along consciously been activating this superpower of vulnerability? Not sure, there's no way to know, but I think at minimum, it would have allowed me to use all of that energy that I was spending on covert operations that was spurred by fear and shame, on feeling confident, on approaching life creatively. And while I don't have any regrets, I sure can tell you that if I could go back knowing what I know now, I surely would have consciously been activating my superpower each and every moment of the day. No doubt about it. So there's one last truth I want to share with you. This superpower of mine, it's not unique to me. It's actually a universally shared superpower. So you have this superpower, and you have this superpower, and you have this superpower. We all do. So as I end my time with you here tonight, I'd like to invite each and every one of you to be brave, to actively engage, consciously engage your superpower. Take your vulnerability and make it a strength, and create connections that inspire. Oh, and one more thing. Do you remember when I told you that definition from the dictionary that about vulnerability, that I'd rather jump out of an airplane than become vulnerable? It's not quite true. You see, I became vulnerable, and then I jumped.